Hey everybody, welcome to the 9th Big Planet Comics Podcast. My name's Kevin.
My name is Nick.
True, that's very true. About that. I'm Jared.
That's Jared. Yeah, so we're going to try something a little new this week. Oh wait, first I should say, you can always subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
Yeah,
that's iTunes. What the cool kids are doing.
That's what they do. You can
I don't know what that is.
Check out our Facebook page for Big Planet Comics. Find out when their new podcast's going up. And if you have any questions, send them to podcast@bigplanetcomics.com.
Now or not?
Well, I mean, do.
No, yeah, no, please.
Yeah, please
we like
do.
Questions.
So there wasn't really a lot of news this week, but then Nick saw a particular piece of news that he found to be interesting.
What was it?
It was that Marvel and William Sonoma are putting
Marvel and William Sonoma are putting a line of kitchenware out. I was pretty excited. Yeah.
Did you see, are there pictures of it? Did you see? This is very exciting news.
Yeah, there's like bowls with like Spider-Man's face on them and stuff.
I guess that's what you would typically expect.
How much of this is Nick lying?
No, it's true.
This is 100% true.
Yeah, it's
that is like the worst cross branding I've ever heard of.
It's the best.
People who like stuff with Spider-Man on it do not shop at Williams.
It'll go perfect with my Spider-Man couch and
under roofs.
Shower curtains.
Look, I mean, you're looking at it the wrong way. Who doesn't want a Bat-Rock the Leaper vegetable scrubber?
It's true.
All right,
I've got two.
Yeah, so like I was saying, there was one big piece of news, but we're going to discuss that at a couple different points in this podcast. So what we're going to do this time is we're going to go through the book of previews. Previews is, you know, it shows everything that's coming out. So we're going to look at a bunch of stuff that's coming out in November.
It previews stuff, basically.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about that? Does that sound exciting?
Sounds like a daunting task that we are happy to accept.
Okay, time for the previews.
What was that?
I don't know. That was a jingle. It was kind of a jingle. It wasn't really a jingle.
Nah, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. All right, so the first thing we've got here is from Dark Horse. We got Orchid number one. This is written by Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
That one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Bulls on Parade.
That's him. That's the guy. Yeah. So that's all. It's a buck, and it's new. There's actually...
But what is it about?
Oh, what's it about? Let's see.
It's about being a dog, apparently.
It's... I don't know. It's about 30 pages long.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, true, true.
It's about a prostitute.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Just say it.
We've got a lot of these, so we got to move through them.
Right.
So up next, we got they're doing a hardcover, all the Milk and Cheese stuff. So this isn't... Milk and Cheese is an old slave labor book by Evan Dorkin. It's about dairy products gone bad. It's basically about a carton of milk and a wedge of cheese that beat the crap out of people.
Often murdering them.
Yeah, it's and they get
hilarious.
Drunk a
I mean,
lot.
If there's two things I like, it's milk and cheese.
And murder. That's three things, though.
That's three things, yeah.
That is three things.
How about dairy products and murder? Does that cover it?
That's good enough. Yeah. But that would be like yogurt too. But there's not any yogurt in this.
Maybe there will be.
Yeah, milk and go-gurt. But anyway, these comics are hilarious. It's like one of them, they go to like a Star Wars convention and start smashing fluorescent light bulbs over people's heads, pretending they're lightsabers, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if you think that's hilarious, you will love this comic.
So this is the old stuff, and then some of the new stuff. I guess there was some milk and cheese stuff.
He did a lot of short stories and stuff that weren't in the first softcover book, and he did several issues of Dork and all that had extra stories in it. So this is everything.
Yeah, so 240 pages of milk and cheese, which seems like a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd want to read it all in one sitting.
Milk and cheese is really good in small doses.
I've never heard milk and cheese measured in page count.
Yeah, usually it's like cups
or liters.
Yeah
gallons.
All right, so that was pretty much it from Dark Horse. Most of the other stuff was regular. So moving on to DC, of course, DC in September has all their new books coming out, and so I kind of assumed that there wasn't gonna be a lot coming out in October. So
not
I just want
new stuff.
Yeah, but there's like a Huntress thing, and there's this Penguin Pain and Prejudice miniseries that's coming out.
But most of the new things they're releasing are miniseries. They're not doing a lot of ongoing books.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of miniseries. One that kind of stood out to me, though, is they're doing a volume two of Batman Odyssey, of all the books to bring back.
Awesome.
Yeah, but Batman Odyssey was originally supposed to be 13 issues, and they only got six out. So
if you guys haven't read Batman Odyssey, it's like Neil Adams, full on, he's like insane.
Basically, this is issue one of 13.
No, this is issue one of seven.
Yeah, one so of seven.
It's one through seven of 13.
Yeah.
No. I hope. No, that's not true.
It is picking up where it left off, and they're just making it volume two instead of the original.
Yeah, it's the last seven issues, which,
yes.
I mean, I guess they're doing it because they don't want to be like, they don't want to have anything be above number six or something.
Yeah, that would confuse everybody.
I guess.
As opposed to this, it's making it unconfused.
And they're doing this, like, My Greatest Adventure thing that's also launching in November that's, like...
Yeah, the first issue is part seven of... Tonga and part seven of Garbage Man or whatever.
I keep saying November. This is all for October.
October.
Whatever.
Yeah, October.
They're all ember months.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Close enough. But one that's actually kind of exciting is James Robinson, who did...
Starman.
There you go. And there there was a character in that called The Shade, who was kind of a fan favorite.
Oh, that's charming.
And he's doing a new 12-issue maxi series of The Shade.
Nobody uses the word maxi series too often anymore.
No. Well, yeah, but 12 issues. That's a maxi series.
That's a maxi series.
It is a maxi series.
What is a maxi series?
It's bigger than a mini series,
I guess.
But isn't it the biggest series you can have?
No, that's
the max.
That's an extreme series. But the art in this is by Cully Hamner. He's always good.
He's good.
In that issue. It's like a different artist every issue.
Oh, is it a different artist? Yeah, but look at these people. Darwin Cook, Javier Pulido, Jill Thompson, Fraser Irving, and Gene Ha.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So art-wise, this will be amazing.
Yeah, and you know, Robinson's not really on any of the new books, so it's cool to see him. Yeah. It's cool to see that he still has a job.
I'll agree with that.
Some of his recent stuff, like Superman and Justice League, have been kind of so-so, but yeah. I feel like he knows how to write The Shade.
Yeah, I think, and it looks like the roster of artists is pretty cool on this, so I think this will be good.
It'll be cool.
So now moving on to something that's very strange, is DC, they're putting out this book called The New 52 Hardcover. It's cool. $150.
Oh, a bargain.
A bargain. It's all 52 number ones. I think we did the math and you save like $11 by buying this.
Like I said, a bargain.
Yeah, but the unfortunate thing is then you have to buy things like OMAC and whatever Scott Lobdell is writing.
Hawk and Dove, other classics.
Yeah, it seems kind of weird only because like at this point, if you haven't read all those first issues, like why are you buying this hardcover?
Yeah, and I think that if you want them, you're going to want to get the issues. If you're like collecting
them. Yeah, the people are excited are going to want the first printings in the original. Yeah.
And if you've already read all of these number ones, but somehow, like, I don't imagine you'd want to, like, buy them all in one hardcover. It's like the first issue of a bunch of comics.
Well, and it comes
for $150.
And it comes out in December, so it's not like it's giving people a chance to, like, you know, read all the first issues.
You said October. Now we're in December?
Well, see, sometimes the trades and previews are solicited for a little bit later.
Insider secret, folks.
Yeah, there's a little insider secret for you. But, so, I don't know. Do you think we'll even order this at any of the stores?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so why are we talking about it?
Because it's funny.
It is kind of funny.
It's amazing as who came up with this idea and who thought it was a good one.
All right, so moving on. Something that's very cool.
Yes.
Is Spaceman number one from Vertigo. They did a preview of Spaceman. Well, I should say Spaceman's the new series by Brian Azzarello and Eduardo Risso, who did 100 Bullets, and they did this new Flashpoint Batman Night of Vengeance, which is like the best of the Flashpoint books. It's completely crazy. And they always do awesome stuff. There was a preview of Spaceman in Strange Adventures.
And let me just tell you that this is my favorite creative team ever.
Is it your favorite creative team ever?
It might be. It might be. I don't know. I love... Fuck. 100 Bullets is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, it's awesome. And they did a run on Batman before that wasn't so awesome.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was okay. But this is a 9-issue miniseries. It's kind of... They're doing a sci-fi thing. Yeah, definitely if you didn't pick up Strange Adventures... It's pretty awesome. And speaking of Strange Adventures, they're doing another book that's kind of like that called The Unexpected.
So are they still going to do Strange Adventures?
I don't know if they're doing a number two. I mean, this...
Oh, well, this is Vertigo, so they're not messed up with all the number ones.
Didn't expect that.
Yeah, it was definitely completely unexpected. But some of the people in this is Dave Gibbons, Brian Wood, Jill Thompson.
Never heard of him.
And the cover's by Raphael Grandpa, and that guy's amazing.
Yeah, the cover makes me want to read it alone.
Yeah, just the cover's
just
good
to
enough.
Buy it, just
I've
to
been
look
totally
at the cover.
Tricked by this cover. I want to see the more insides.
Okay, now...
Hopefully the inside's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we talked about this last week, but here's proof that it's actually coming out. Star Trek Legion of Superheroes number one.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, so...
Anything about the plot? Like, what's the cool twist?
Let's see. Well, this is the pairing you never thought could happen, according to this.
I thought it could happen.
Or never really cared about.
The Legionnaires end up lost... The Legionnaires end up lost in the 23rd century, but it's a universe that isn't familiar to either the Legion or the crew of the USS Enterprise.
Wait, so they're both in a different universe?
I guess.
Hmm.
Are they in the Wildstorm universe? Like none of the characters are here anymore. Where'd the hell go?
I don't know anything about the Legion of Superheroes, so I have no idea. Yeah. But that's coming out from IDW.
Maybe they're in the Marvel universe.
Who are also putting out IDW's
That'd be the best thing ever.
That would be really strange.
Yeah.
But so IDW's putting out another one of these artist edition books. We're gonna talk about the Thor one later. But these are basically big, huge, oversized books. And then the next one coming out is Wally Wood's EC stories. So it's a bunch of his EC stuff done in like it's like reproductions of his original pages. So it's
it looks
15 inches by 22 inches.
That's a lot of inches. It looks pretty great.
Yeah. It's also...
It's Wally Wood.
It's Wally Wood.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you need to know, really.
Especially to see his originals with... Oh, will they be inked by him or just his pencils?
I think he inked all of his... I think everybody...
Most of the guys did their own stuff.
Yeah, they did their own inking and stuff and that. All right. So, but one thing you should know about is $125.
Eh, whatever.
Yeah.
It will be amazing.
For the DC book, we're like $150. It's like 1,200 pages, but for this, it's like 144 pages. And we're like, yeah, that's a good deal.
Yeah, it's good.
$125 bucks.
If every DC book was drawn by Wally Wood, I would buy that hardcover.
Yeah, that's true. I would too. All right, so moving on, another book from IDW is called Code Word Geronimo.
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know, because it's weird. Because
we like Westerns.
This is mostly just the weirdest thing ever created.
It's God, I wouldn't say weirdest.
This must have been drawn in like 5 minutes. I don't know.
It's true. Okay, well, I should say the book is about the assassination of Osama bin Laden.
You mean the heroic action by our U.S. Special Forces?
Right. You've heard us talk before about the Disney movie SEAL Team 6 that's coming out. That's right. All SEALs. This is not that. This is the actual SEAL Team 6. Well, I guess, but they're not really allowed to talk about it, so I don't know where they're getting this information.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, true. But it's photos.
Is it? No, it's not photos. No,
I bet it is. Not
photos. All right, so this is probably... I'm moving on from that.
No, I don't want to
move. Moving into Image. Image has been really exciting recently.
True.
And they've got this new book coming out called The Strange Talent of Luther Strode.
Which looks like perhaps the greatest thing coming out.
Apparently his talent is breaking people into pieces.
Yeah, that's like, what it looks like.
Ivan Drago.
It looks like he beats people up a lot. The art looks incredible. It looks really, really violent.
Yeah, he shoves arms down people's throats and stuff. Yeah.
But, I was just looking at how good the art was. I didn't realize it was that violent.
Yeah, the art's great, though.
From what I can tell, this is a new creative team that I don't really know. Justin Jordan is writing it, and Trad Moore is doing the art.
Yeah, it's always interesting to... And also kind of scary, but when there's a new creative team that you've never heard of, but it looks...
Yeah, but Image, you know...
I think that's the thing about Image is it's attracting the people who just are coming out of nowhere and want to do comics and don't want to sell their stuff to...
Yeah, it's like the guys that did Witch Doctor. I mean, I'd never seen anything from those guys before. Yeah.
And the two guys are like that, too.
So, that's awesome. There's also a new book from Image called Feel Better Now by Jonathan Hickman. Hickman got back into doing sort of creator-owned stuff with Red Wing a few weeks ago.
True.
And now he's getting back even further to his roots in that he's going to be writing and drawing this.
Cool.
And it seems to have a style similar to Nightly News.
And I may be the only person here who's completely not interested in this.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Hickman's art.
I will say that you are correct because I'm interested. Yeah, I do not like his art. He's very successful.
I don't like his art. I don't like the weird text on the side of the page thing that kind of describes what's happening in the picture.
It's more like pictures next to words as opposed to an actual comic.
It's a graphic design comic as opposed to an art comic.
Like, it's always well written, but it just seems kind of lazy.
And he's like a big idea guy, and this seems to be, it's like about a psychiatrist that messes with his patients. So
I'm sure it'll be good.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like,
not your thing.
Just can't really get excited about it. All right, so moving on. Image has a lot of number ones this week. So
this is more exciting to me.
Yeah, this is a new book called The Last of the Greats. It's by written by Josh Fiakoff, who wrote, which one did he do?
Echoes.
Tumor and Echoes and a bunch of
other stuff. And he's doing iVampire for DC.
Yeah.
But this is kind of him doing a superhero book.
Yeah.
And this artist,
more of those.
Brent Peoples. Yeah, I know. There are just so many superhero books. But people still do good superhero
books. But it's a superhero has gone wrong. Well, no, that's been done a lot.
There are a lot of those, too.
that is current.
But Fiakoff's a good writer. So, I mean, this is something probably worth getting excited about.
Now, the preview pages are pretty great.
Yeah, it looks cool. So, moving on to just like one we thought we should mention is Infinite Horizon number 5 is coming out.
Finally.
Didn't it come out like 8 months ago?
Well,
I think Infinite Horizon 4 came out like 2 years ago.
No, I feel like it came out like 5 years ago.
Anyway, it's finishing. So
if you remember,
oh my God, I was confusing this with Infinite Vacation.
No, this
did come out. I was joking, and it was like 3 or 4.
Yeah, it's Phil Noto, and it's his like kind of take on the Odyssey with like the war veteran, like wandering through the desert, and then
a modern take where soldiers are trying to get back from some war.
It's definitely a series worth checking out. Although I'm assuming all the issues are way out of print.
It's so old that they're actually like coming back from like the first Gulf War. That's when it came out.
It'd be awesome if like this new issue is like 5 years later, however long it's been since the last issue came out.
Yeah, I've been wandering through the desert for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So Infinite Horizon,
Yeah.
It's finishing.
Hooray!
It's awesome though.
Yeah. So
it was good.
So moving on, there's a new hardcover, original hardcover coming out from Joe Casey, who writes lots and lots of stuff. What does Joe Casey write, Nick?
I don't know. He writes Godland. He writes what's the one? Butcher Baker.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
That's enough stuff. Those are enough.
Other stuff.
Yeah. So Doc Bizarre looks cool. It's like a monster doctor.
Vengeance.
Oh yeah, he's writing Vengeance, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, that is good.
This looks really good.
Yeah, yeah. The art's great. This guy, Andy Siriano, another like a guy I don't really know. But,
yeah, but it's incredible.
Yeah, but it looks like he's doing great stuff.
I'm sure it'll be really good.
All right, so moving on.
Whoa, wait, hold on. You just skipped past a picture of MJ dressed like Spider-Man?
Yeah, that's okay. We don't need to talk about
that. We'll talk about that some other time.
It's a comic book. We'll talk about it when it comes out.
I'm sure we will.
All right, but so we are going to talk about some Marvel stuff now. The Fearless, number 1 of 12. This is kind of the aftermath of Fear Itself, it seems like. And
yeah, it's like their weekly follow-up to Fear Itself that kind of... I'm not sure what it's about, but because it says like classified in giant letters, but it's...
Yeah.
It's written by a bunch of people, so I imagine it's going to be another one of these anthology series like that they
short
do.
Stories with everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And I would tell you what it's about, but it's got a big classified thing overall.
I feel like it'll be kind of like 52. Like, it'll be kind of written by a bunch of people, but it's kind of a weekly... or bi-weekly thing that kind of catches you up on. Hopefully it'll have one story. I hope it's not just vignettes for like 12 issues.
That would not do as well.
Yeah, so, you know, it should be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
And then another one. This is big news, everybody. Incredible Hulk number 1, because Incredible
It's been Hulk. So long that since Incredible Hulk ended.
Yeah, it hasn't ended yet, has it?
Oh, next month or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, but this is written by Jason Aaron, who's awesome. We always talk about Jason Aaron. The art's by Mark Silvestri. I'm not a big
fan. My boy, Mark Silvestri.
I'm not a big fan of Mark Silvestri, but...
Nah, he sucks. I mean, he's all right. I don't know.
He's very stylized.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He's very 90s.
He's not bad. It's just 90s, a style that I don't like. All right, so...
Speaking of style, I do like.
Yeah, yeah. This is the book that was written for Nick. This is Legion of Monsters number 1.
Yes, it was.
It looks like most of the monster characters that were in Frankencastle, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know this writer, Dennis Hopeless. I bet that's not his real name.
I don't care.
I hope not.
But the art is by Wando.
Yeah, that's what I care about.
And Wando is awesome. I'm sure...
It's got Morbius, you know?
Yeah, Morbius. Not Mobius.
No, Morbius. Yeah, the guy who drew like that Silver Surfer Requiem or whatever it was called.
Yeah, Mobius, the living Frenchman.
The living Frenchman.
Yeah, so...
Is he alive?
Yeah,
he
Mobius
he's
is alive.
Yeah, he's just lazy.
He's not lazy. Nobody publishes his books in America.
Aged, yes. Oh,
yeah, yeah. All right, so moving on to the stupidest thing in the entire previews, which is the X-Men number 1 20th anniversary edition.
Nope, you're right.
No, now see, X-Men number 1 came out in the early 90s. It was Chris Claremont and Jim Lee.
Perhaps in 1991.
If anybody needs a copy of X-Men number 1, I bet a lot of people have like 5 or 6 copies.
Yeah, you probably get like 8 for a dollar.
Yeah.
Probably 8 for a penny, I don't know.
And I'm assuming this looks like it's like recolored and stuff, but you know, it's X-Men.
For some people, this is the moment they've been waiting 20 years for.
It is the moment they've been waiting 20 years for. But speaking of X-Men stuff, there's also Wolverine and the X-Men number 1.
Oh, snap.
Can you explain to people what's going on in X-Men right now so they'll understand what this is?
Well, Schism is going on right now, and basically it's going to cause the X-Men to split into two different teams, and one of them is going to be led by Wolverine, and one of them is going to be led by question mark?
Cyclops.
No.
Oh,
it's not clear because all the ads for the Uncanny X-Men just have Emma Frost in them, so it might not actually have Cyclops in it.
I was hoping that Wolverine and Cyclops would be their own team.
Well, none of that matters because Wolverine and the X-Men is written by Jason Aaron, so it's going to be incredible.
Oh yeah, yeah, I should say that it's written by Jason Aaron and the art's by Chris Bacalo. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, he's awesome.
Bacalo.
Yeah, the issue of Avengers he drew was great, and he drew Shade of the Changing Man forever and other various awesome things.
He's a gangster.
he's so gangster. All right, so speaking of books, well, we were speaking about a little while ago, but speaking of books that haven't come out in a while, Superior 5 and 6 are finally coming out.
Never heard of it.
This is the Mark Miller, Lennel Francis Yu, kind of the Mark Miller-y take on Shazam.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Shazam.
And it's finally going to finish. So a lot of people hate Mark Miller.
But a lot of people, this is one of the most questioned about where are the rest of these issues comics.
Yeah, because a lot of people hate Mark Miller, but more people like Mark Miller.
Yeah, but I like the other Mark Miller.
Oh, Mark Miller, our customer.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that guy's cool. He likes Game of
Thrones.
He's a nice
guy.
He does.
Yeah, yeah. And he asked us a question one time.
He loves his Mass Effect. Mark Miller, if you're listening to this, Mass Effect 3 is going to be awesome. I'm right there with you, buddy.
I'm sorry if people make fun of you for writing comics.
Wait,
they don't like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not your fault. It's the other guy.
He's Scottish.
All right, so moving on. There are a lot of good trades coming out. There's like the 15 Love trade is coming out. If you guys haven't checked that out, it's really cool. It's like a tennis manga by Andy Watson. But there's this thing called Marvel First, the 1960s that's coming out. And as opposed to the DC thing, which I think seems really lame, this kind of seems cool to me. It's all the number ones of Marvel from the 60s, which are like some of the most seminal
comics. It's not
comics.
Just the number ones. It's like the first appearances of people.
Right, right.
Because there's Journey into Mystery, like whatever the issue with Thor is. I forget what number it is, but
627 or something.
Number 83.
83.
Yeah, you gotta know that stuff, or have this book in front of you like I do.
Yeah.
Or pretend you know.
But
that stuff.
But yeah. So that's
it. Should be really cool.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. What it'll be good for is like, you know, people that come in, they're new to stuff, especially kids, because you can't
The thing about these old comics is like, here you go. This is where all your favorite characters came from.
And the difference between this and the DC one is that all of these stories are, back then, they're all done in one kind of story. So you don't, like, the other one will be like the beginning of an inkling of a story, you know, whereas this will be an entire story in an issue, you know?
Yeah.
And it's good for kids. I mean, kids can't exactly come in and buy Captain America number one that just came out because, you know, it'll be really confusing and complicated and weird.
Probably get it, but yeah.
Yeah, but not like an 8-year-old.
No.
Yeah.
No, maybe a really dumb 8-year-old.
Well, I don't know. No offense if you're 8 years old and you're listening to this.
Yeah, if you're 8 years old and listening to this, email us and insult us.
If you're 8 years old and you're listening to this,
I feel like you guys are really smart.
Go to bed.
These guys think you're idiots.
So another thing coming out from Marvel, that just a quick thing, is the Uncanny X-Force trade's finally coming out. And we all love Uncanny X-Force.
Maybe the best X-Men book right now.
It's definitely the best X-Men book right now.
X-Men Schism.
No, it's still better than that.
It's still better than X-Men Schism. I agree with Nick on that one, for sure. All right, so moving on. Snarked number one. This is from Roger Langridge and Boom Studios. Snarked number zero came out this week. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But I think all around, we all love Snarked, right?
Yep, so yeah. Number one.
It's pretty cool. All right, here's one of my favorite things in previews. Is Stan Lee's How to Write Comics.
How do you write comics, Stan Lee?
Well, I just tell Jack Kirby what my idea is, and he draws it, and then I put word balloons in.
He might also get Steve Ditko to write his
ideas. Yeah, that's true, or Don balloons. Heck, or whoever.
Yeah.
And then, of course, because he's such, because he knows so much about it, also available, Stan Lee's How to Draw Comics.
he's like, I'm here to tell you how to draw comics. Take it away, Jack Kirby.
Yeah, exactly. stop suing me for a second and tell people how to draw.
I totally won't screw you over.
Yeah, so we're probably not going to get those books, so we just want to talk about it because they're pretty goofy. But moving on to something that is probably one of the best comics coming out right now. It's a webcomic, but they're doing a collection of it. It's Hark a Vagrant by Kate Beaton.
Yes, to get back to the old question of what is a great webcomic.
Here we go. Yeah, Hark a Vagrant is definitely a great webcomic. She does historical comics, but makes them very, very, very funny. And it's
finally
good.
In print.
If you like things, you'll like this.
True. Yeah, especially old things.
And if you really don't want to buy this, just check out her website.
Yeah, that's true as well. Yeah. I mean, if you guys haven't read Hark a Vagrant, just go check it out on the web.
It's free.
And that's a good comic. So.
Free's good.
And that's coming out from Drawn and Quarterly. And another fancy pants publisher, Fantagraphics, they're putting out... the first volume of their Carl Barks series of Duck comics, and this one's going to be Donald Duck Lost in the Andes.
That's fancy.
Yeah, that is fancy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people know who Carl Barks is, but I think he's probably the greatest comics creator of all time.
Maybe not the greatest, but he's definitely one of the greatest.
Well, I said I think he's the greatest.
Yeah.
I know, and I'm disagreeing with you slightly.
What? He's the Muhammad Ali of comics.
Is he?
Yeah, he's the greatest.
He is the greatest. Yeah. He floats like a butterfly. He doesn't sting like a bee. He's a nice guy.
He draws like a bee, though.
He draws like a bee. I don't think bees are very good artists.
They got their stingers. Just dip them in ink.
That's true.
Around.
And just stab the page over and over again. It looks like Richard Corbin.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to something that that we're all excited about. Jason Conquers America. Jason is a Norwegian cartoonist, and everything he does is really good.
True.
He started out doing silent comics, but recently he's been working with a co-writer and doing
for some, but he's also done some as he's written himself, but they're all really good.
Yeah. So
heck yes.
Yeah, this is cool. It's just new Jason book, so it's good.
Anthropomorphic dudes fighting and stuff.
Yep. So moving on, there's coming out from Houghton Mifflin is Best American Comics 2011. This seems like it has a lot of good people in it. There are too many to list, but it's
a little pretentious though.
I'm constantly surprised by those because it's like a lot of stuff that appeared like short stories and like magazines and stuff all over the place. So
I mean, I'm gonna put out something called the Best American Comics too.
It is,
and it's just gonna be your comics.
Yeah.
It'll definitely be the best. All right, so
just because I call it so.
We're getting through this pretty fast. We just have a few more left. This is one of my favorite. I bought these mini comics. This comic called Troop 142 by Mike Dawson. If you guys like comics podcasts, he does a podcast called Ink Panthers and with Alex Robinson, who does Box Office Poison.
And stop shilling for a competition.
Hey, it's good stuff.
No, it's good stuff. Yeah, and I haven't read a lot of it, but it's pretty awesome.
Well, I bought all the minis of this from him at SPX.
One of the hits of last year's SPX. Yeah,
and I loved it. It's just about a bunch of kids in a Boy Scout troop.
SPX, September 10th and 11th.
It's true. Yeah.
It's not 11th and 12th?
No, we'll talk about SPX pretty soon, I think.
Yeah, but, we'll let you know.
Yeah. No, it's 10th and 11th. It's definitely not 11th and 12th, contrary to what you may have seen. All right, so moving on to something else called Country Ass Whooping.
That's what I love. I love a country, a good country ass whooping.
At first, I was just like, oh, well, this has a goofy title. But I was looking at some of the creators. It's like Jason Aaron, Jason Pearson, Cully Hamner, Rebecca Isaacs. I mean, it's got a
little... It's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of short stories about country ass whooping. It's like deadly tornadoes are destroying Alabama.
Yeah, and the logo looks like the Jack Daniels logo.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
It's making me thirsty.
That's always good, right? Is it making you thirsty? Well, nothing's better for quenching your thirst than a cold glass of Jack Daniels.
That's what I drink when I'm jogging.
From your little sippy cup.
Yeah. All right, so moving on, we got Tezuka's Princess Knight, Volume 1. This is like a Tezuka fairy tale book. Tezuka, if you don't know, is Osamu Tezuka, which I'm sure I'm pronouncing wrong.
That's pretty good. And but he's clearly not the greatest creator of all time.
Oh, is that who you were thinking of when I said Karl Barks?
Yeah, like I said, he's up there.
Yeah, Tezuka is widely considered to be the Japanese Walt Disney. He's like a comics maven.
If Walt Disney had drawn comics for his entire life and they were all amazing.
Yeah, because Walt Disney actually never really did much. I mean, he was an Imagineer.
He's like the Stan Lee of animation. Imagineer. He's like, Jack Kirby, you're going to draw this this animated comic for me. And I'm going to
sure ain't no Scott Lobdell.
That's true.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah.
All right. So we got one more thing in here, which is this book called Government Issue, Comics for the People, 1940 to 2000. Yeah. I kind of missed this, and Nick pointed this out. It's basically different comics that have were put out by like federal agencies over the years. But the people that are in it are amazing. It's got like
Eisner, perhaps.
Yeah. It's got Eisner. It's got Walt Kelly.
Oh wow.
It's got Hank Ketchum, who does Dennis the Menace. So yeah, it looks awesome, it's a big old 300.
Yeah, it's like Dennis the Menice being like buy bonds or stuff like
that. Yeah, or like Pogo telling their parents how much TV their kids should watch.
Yeah,
that I would like to know.
Yeah, so
I'll have to buy that book.
Yeah,
it seems pretty cool. Yeah,
so that's it. Obviously, there's a lot more in previews besides that, but
true.
Yeah,
those are some highlights.
So good stuff.
Yeah,
in October,
the rest is awful.
We'll be talking about all these comics again when we've read them.
All right, so we should move on to viewer mail, right?
Yes.
Yeah, whatever.
That's the viewer mail sound.
I know.
Yeah. All right. So we've got three different viewer mails this week.
Nice.
As always, you guys can send viewer mail to podcast@bigplanetcomics.com. That's us.
That's us.
All right. So the first one's from Chris Campbell, 6-time question asker, 9th-time listener.
Excellent.
Chris says,
first time listener.
he doesn't actually listen. He just asks questions.
I wouldn't.
So he said, I think Saga and BKV News was the highlight of San Diego Comic Con. Oh, BKV is Brian K. Vaughan, by the way. I think we all agree with that, right?
Well, that is what we said in our last podcast, Chris, if you'd listened.
So, he just wants to know if any of us are going to Baltimore Comic Con. This is pretty easy. I am.
Maybe.
It's definitely in consideration. What is it, 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, I think so.
There's definitely some gaps in my ROM Space Night collection.
That's true.
Yeah, usually when Nick and I go to Comic Con, we buy like 80s comics for 25 cents that are based on like action figure lines that were unsuccessful, like like Chris Star and Shogun Warriors.
Usually wait till like the last like hour when everybody's like, I need to sell this stuff.
Yeah,
start, throwing 10 comics for 50 cents, you know, and then you just go hog wild.
It is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So
wait, there's some news. Baltimore Comic Con, 2 weeks.
Yeah, whatever.
That's not really news.
It is news.
All right. So
our
second question is from Greg McElhattan. Wait, should I say his last name? Because he writes for a comics webpage. But whatever. It's Greg. He wants to know, which was a bigger disaster, Straczynski Superman or Wonder Woman?
A bigger disaster?
Yeah, a bigger disaster.
Personally, I would say that maybe the Superman one. Only because I feel like I read the Superman one for like 2 issues and then I gave up. But the Wonder Woman, I read for at least 4 issues.
I feel like...
Even though they're both like 12 or 13 issues.
Yeah, I think you're right, because the Superman one got people's hopes up more. And it was definitely weirder.
Well, it wasn't weird. It was just boring. It was just Superman walking around the country.
It was weird.
It was kind of weird. But it was like, hey, I'm going to help you fix your car.
I'm going to say for me, the Superman one was definitely the biggest disaster. I read some issues of it today. I had only read the first one before. And
did you get to the one where he solved a drug problem by burning down a drug dealer's house?
I did.
Or stash?
And then there's like this, it's all weirdly preachy and didactic. It's like Superman walking around. Here's my biggest problem with Superman. I will say right off, the Wonder Woman thing I don't like, but it was kind of just a Wonder Woman story. I don't know. It's
fair
like
enough.
Yeah, but
you just don't like Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I mean I like Wonder Woman sometimes, but the Superman thing, it's like Superman walks around the country dressed like Superman to see what it's like to be like a regular human.
That's a logic point.
It's like, why not walk around like Clark Kent? And also, can't he hear like people being murdered and raped with his like super hearing? But he's like harassing illegal aliens and helping people organize their stockrooms and diners to get free Philly cheesesteak sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that one of the plot lines?
Yeah.
I missed that one.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's like... Or like, it's helping people that are trying to commit suicide. Well, not actually help.
helping them commit suicide.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, just super suicide booth for you.
I was like, just do it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Thanks, Superman.
I think
thank you, Nike.
I think Superman was definitely the biggest disaster for me. And it sounds like for all of us.
Yeah.
All right.
But I didn't read as many Wonder Woman. So.
All right. So we've got a third question. This is from Krishnadev. And he said he'd be interested in hearing our thoughts about the new Spider-Man. Although he says, you know, it's not the real Spider-Man. It's the Ultimate Spider-Man. But, well, I guess if you guys don't know, basically there was a new Spider-Man revealed after Peter Parker died in the Ultimate Universe. And he's half black, half Latino.
Miles Morales is his name.
Oh, is his name Miles Morales? I don't think I knew that.
I don't think they said in the comic, but Nick knows everything.
Not in the comic, but yeah.
So this is a very... touchy question for me, but do minority leads actually affect sales is the question. Now, Jared, you said you read an interesting article about this.
Yeah, I've actually read a couple of things about this on the, because obviously this was the news that broke on Tuesday, and so a lot of people on the interwebs have been all up in arms pro or against this, as you know, new Spider-Man is obviously going to rile some folks up. But I don't know. It is kind of a loaded question because it's largely like a male, white, dominated creative. Like the creators of comics in America, in any way, are largely white men, often older white men. So it's like a weird thing to be looking at the, you know, makeup of the ethnic makeup of any comic book out there.
And that's kind of been a thing that's been in comics news over the past couple of weeks as well, because there was this panel at San Diego Comic-Con where people were getting really heated about the fact that DC has... basically no female creators.
I did not hear about
that. They have Gail Simone. Wow. So Nicola Scott was offered a book, I know, but nobody knows if she's actually doing anything at this point. And then they've got Amanda Connor.
Wow.
And Amy Reeder Hadley as well, who's doing...
True. And she's really good. Yeah. But, yeah.
But that's it. That's four out of... If you're including artists and writers, that's four out of like their 100 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Out of 100?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, yeah, so people have been up in arms about that. So this kind of question of minority and gender and race in comics has been kind of a big thing. But for me, I mean...
I don't care. If the comic's good, I'll read it. If it sucks, I won't.
That's definitely how I feel about it.
Definitely the strongest point is that, you know, that...
I mean, I care that, like, you know, they're not getting jobs or whatever, but I'm, you know, I just want to read a good comic.
Well, yeah. No, well, okay, I thought you were saying something else. I think it's, of course, if any other industry only had like four women out of like 100 of their employees, they'd be getting in big trouble. But I don't know. It's
like the circular loop, you know, that's like, oh, we're not seeing enough minorities or women or whatever doing these comics. It's like, but, you know, how do they get to do it if they aren't given the jobs in the first place? And, you know, it's.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's kind of the institutionalized problem that you just don't have these people creating them. And so who's interested in doing them and who's going to hire them? And.
But specifically in regards to the Spider-Man thing, because we're kind of going off into the DC thing a little. But I agree.
I was talking in industry terms. You could say that across the whole industry. So,
but I agree with Nick. If it's a good story, you know, I don't.
Yeah,
care
I think
if
Ultimate Spider-Man would be good regardless of who he is. In fact, this might make it more interesting just because we haven't seen a Spider-Man who's, you know, not a little crying white kid. You know?
Yeah.
That's true.
Whatever.
I remember, though, there was like, God, maybe 10 years ago, there was a Spider-Man. Was it Web of Spider-Man? Was it Spider-Man Tales where they're doing like one single issues as the comic?
Oh, I think it was Web of Spider-Man.
Web of Spider-Man. And there was one where there was a little black kid who was dreaming, you know, about his hero Spider-Man. He's, you know, all over the city, and this kid had whatever problems was. And the kicker to the end of the issue was Spider-Man actually runs into him at his house and comes in and says, you know, thanks for being my friend or whatever, and takes off his mask, and it's a black guy. So, you know, it's the idea that under the costumes, you know, they can be whoever they are for a lot of these things, you know. So it's interesting that they're finally taking that step of, like, why aren't more of these people like that? You know, that you've got diversity and different characters. And,
Yeah. And one little side note about this. I guess Brian Bendis, Donald Glover from the show Community, is a huge comics fan. And he was petitioning to become to be Spider-Man in the new movie.
Oh, wow.
And Brian Bendis said that was part of the inspiration for doing this, which I think is awesome because I love Donald Glover. He's hilarious on Community. And he's a good rapper. Childish Gambino. He's got a couple of mixtapes.
He's an amazing rapper.
They're very offensive, but I love them.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because, no, if you think about it, like, in the Ultimate Universe, when they basically base Nick Fury on the look of Samuel L. Jackson, who then got the part in the movies.
Yeah.
So there are changes out there. It's interesting.
Oh, this kid does not look like Donald Glover at all.
That's true.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah. Did I say Danny Glover before?
No. No, I hope not.
Okay, yeah, I hope not either.
I think he's a Donald.
All right, anyway, so that's
getting
it
too old for this.
That's it for viewer mail. If you guys have any questions, send them to podcast@bigplanetcomics.com and we will read them on the air. All right, now let's get into some reviews.
We love comics, they're swell, except when they're written by Scott Lobdell. I prefer important books like Louis Riel. It's time for reviews.
I want to say, does that song get old? I mean, I can change it, but I think it's, I like it.
That song, so it doesn't get old, I want to sing along with it, if only you'd let me.
Yeah, Jared tried to sing along with this song last time, and I cut it out.
I was edited off. I'm on the cutting room floor.
Any song that makes fun of Scott Lobdell is good in my book.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make it my ringtone. Maybe I'll make it available on the webpage as a ringtone.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. That would be really weird if a lot of people started coming into the store and they had that on their phones.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, anyway, so let's get into reviews. The first thing this week, should we start with something good or something not so good?
Not so good.
All right, let's start with Infinite Number One. This is a new book by Robert Kirkman and...
Hooray!
Rob Liefeld.
Aww.
Yeah. So Kirkman, you know, he's a great writer. He writes Invincible. He writes Walking Dead. But something about when he writes these books with these old Image creators, like, didn't he write Image United?
Yeah.
And he writes Haunt. He's writing this Infinite book. It seems like he writes down to these creators.
Well, they talk about it in the back that he's like, you know, like, whenever I'm feeling burned out by comics or I'm just too much stuff going on, I read my comics from when I was 14, which are the 90s Image comics, and I get all charged up again. So I don't know if it's like just him being excited, a little too excited working with these dudes or what, but yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. But Infinite Number One is like, there's this big company that's like, I don't know what it's
about. It's about time travel, yeah, and
it's like
alternate dimension.
Stupid
or
crap, I don't know. It's
yeah,
awful.
Yeah, it's really terrible. Let's just move on. Okay.
Next.
Let's move on to something good. Let's move on to Mystic Number One.
Oh right. My god, it was so good.
Yeah, so Mystic is it the third book?
Third one, yeah.
In the cross-gen relaunch, which is the first two were Ruse and Sigil.
Did any of us read the old Mystic?
I never read the old Mystic.
Either.
I have no idea what it is.
But right, I feel like going into this, it doesn't matter. I should say Mystic is written by G. Wilson, who did
Air
and Cairo, which are both great books. And it's drawn by David Lopez, who I think drew one of the Hawkeye miniseries.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Really,
his
good
artist.
Is
incredible.
But the art is fantastic. It reminds me a lot of Emma Rios.
And Amanda Connor.
Yeah, I can see that.
The coloring is really good in this too. It makes it look more cartoony and kind of like cell animation.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's very cool. But yeah. Jared, why don't you tell people what Mystic Number One was about?
A typical fantasy world where you've got two orphan girls, I believe, and they're working at some terrible orphanage.
Yeah, they seem like indentured servants.
Yeah, something. One of those, you know, orphanages where, of course, the kids are being, you know, taken advantage of by the evil orphanage woman or whatever. And the one friend wants to become a wizard more than anything, but it's wizardry in this world is restricted to the nobility. And then
they kind of escape from this orphanage and
sneak into the castle basically right before they're about to do the big picking the new wizard ceremony.
And
like
then
every fantasy
some
thing.
Other stuff happens. We don't want to give too much away about
True.
The book, but it's really well written. It's a lot of fun. The dialogue between the two leads is great.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's definitely worth picking up. And you don't have to have read the other Mystic series to get
as
what's
we just
on.
Said.
No,
none
of
us
had.
I
loved it. Yeah, it was great.
I did too.
All right, so let's move on. We'll go from good book to bad book.
Uh oh.
Let's talk about Cult Number One.
Cult with a K, baby.
Cult with a K. This is written by Jeremy Barlow and drawn by Iwan Nassif. And it's from Dark Horse. But it read a lot like a Top Cow book to me.
But Dark Horse has got the thing where they're doing like all their like movie adaptations or movie licenses and video game licenses.
Yeah, but
is this a video game?
I think it's a role playing game.
Oh, that might make sense.
Yeah, but
it definitely felt licensed.
But it felt like a Top Cow book to me in that it's like demons and
gratuitously violent,
and it's not very
good. I definitely felt some like rolling some dice.
And I had to force Nick to try to read it.
You had to force me to read it.
Oh, I had to force everybody.
Interestingly,
to read it.
Though, I couldn't get through the first time, and you would force me to reread it. I kind of liked it a little bit more.
You liked? Oh well, more.
I didn't say I loved it.
I love the demon dialogue. It was like, "I'm gonna defecate on your soul" and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. But I think they actually say that.
But getting past that, like the underlying story, I thought was interesting.
Nope.
Give it that or
nope.
not?
Nope. All right, so moving on to something that we all liked. Rachel Rising. We all liked Rachel Rising.
Yeah, no, Rachel Rising was good. Yeah.
Rachel Rising's the new Terry Moore book.
Follow up to Echo and Strangers in Paradise.
It's not a follow up at all.
No, it's definitely
his next thing.
I guess the characters look awfully similar to some old Echo
well, they all
and kinda, Strangers in Paradise.
I don't know if they all do, but they all at least Echo and Strangers in Paradise actually sort of took place in the same universe.
Really?
Yeah. There's characters from Strangers in Paradise that showed up in Echo.
Then I'm an idiot.
But yeah. Rachel Rising is very interesting. It starts out with a big silent sequence of like a woman rising from the grave. And then there seems to be a sort of stolen identity in there a little bit. And I don't want to give too much away about it. It's a lot of setup, but there's a lot of mystery in this first book.
Yeah, it's hard to say too much about it without actually telling you exactly what happens.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I feel like in Echo number one, he definitely threw more interesting tidbits at you, like of like some weird stuff happening. This is more weird stuff and you have no idea what's going on, but in a very compelling way.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for the next issue. I think as this mystery starts to flesh itself out a little bit, it'll be cool. Yeah so yeah. Rachel Rising number one is definitely a good start to what's probably going to be another good series by Terry Moore. All right, let's see, moving on to my favorite book of the week, but this is not gonna be for everybody, is the Tank Tankuro hardcover. This is a reprint of some old comic strips from 1935 and 1936 by Gajo Sakamoto, and this is a manga that predates Astro Boy. It's this crazy giant robot.
Crazy.
Yeah, I should definitely emphasize that it's completely insane. The page layouts are all over the place, but how do you explain this? There's a part where somebody shoots a bunch of octopi at somebody. There's a part where he fights a giant demon sumo wrestler.
It's like a guy who's like a big ball and like with a head coming out of it, and then out of the different holes in the ball, like things come out like arms.
It can turn into a plane or helicopter, boat or helicopter. Yeah.
It definitely has to be seen to believe. It has a beautiful cover by Chris Ware. Yep. I will say that as well. And if you're a fan of strange comics, like if you like the type of stuff Picture Box puts out, or
For me, it kind of read like Axe Cop of the 30s, where they just didn't have like the internet and werewolves and stuff to talk about. Because the interesting thing is, this was when Japan was all militarized and taken over the world. So there's a lot of like, they're singing marching songs and fighting Japan's enemies and some weird stuff going on culturally. Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's
it's really goofy fun. Yeah.
It's goofy. It's fun. Just like the next book we're going to talk about, which is Snark Number Zero by Roger Langridge. Nick, why you want to tell people what Snark is about?
Well, it's about the walrus and the carpenter from Alice in Wonderland, basically. And it's their kind of adventures. The walrus is kind of a mean-spirited... I don't know if he's a thief, but he's just kind of...
He's a bit of a grifter, though.
I'd say.
He's a scoundrel.
And he's using the carpenter, who's kind of his, like, you know, dumb lackey to help him.
Yeah, and it's very, it's very classic comic, like, in the sense that, like, they're trying to get food. And they go through all these crazy, Rube Goldbergian kind of things to get food. Yeah, lots of crazy schemes.
Yeah.
There's some really funny jokes about like
oysters.
Yeah, they live in a little shack and there's a sign on the front that says, you know, that they want renters and oysters are welcome, and then when some oysters show up, they're like, "Oh, get the butter and lemon." You know? It's that kind of thing. It's very fun. Roger Langridge did the Muppet Show comic, which was amazing.
Fred the Clown. Amazing.
Everything he does is good. And this is a fun little intro to this. It's definitely a story of its own. And it's a dollar, right?
Only $1.
Yeah, only $1.
$1.
So that's Snark Number Zero. Yeah, we all loved it. All right, so moving on to... Let's talk about Multiplex.
All right.
So Multiplex is a webcomic by Gordon McAlpin. It's basically like an ensemble comedy about
drama.
Comedy drama about a bunch of people that work in a movie theater.
Yeah.
And it mixes their personal relationships in with stuff making fun of movies. And I think it works really well. It's a light read, but then as it goes on, you get pretty deep into the relationships with these characters, and I find that it's very engaging.
Yeah, it definitely builds them up over time that, you know, after a while you're just having characters introduced as gag characters of like, I need this guy to be able to say this joke, and then after a while he's a recurring character who works really well with everyone else.
And yeah, and I don't know too much about the writer or anything, but I feel like he's kind of writing from like, I feel like he works at a movie theater.
I'm pretty sure he must have worked at a movie theater for a long time.
Still works at a movie theater.
I think in the back it said he never worked at a movie theater.
Oh, wow.
But
oh,
had really? Other terrible jobs like it and loves movies.
Yeah. So, well, they're the guys from the video store in it too, so maybe he worked at a video store. The art style's, it's not the most complicated thing. It's got kind of a South Park cutout style to it. But it works, and it's definitely
funny.
Yeah, it's very funny, and it's definitely worth checking out. again, like the Hark of Agron, I mean, just check out the webpage, and if you like it, pick up the comic. It's always good to support those people and give them a little bit of a revenue stream.
And the thing I really like about webcomic collections, not all creators do this, but often when they do it, they'll have like little kind of author commentary on every strip, so you do get something extra from having read it online and extra jokes. And yeah,
it definitely has some of that, yeah, like little commentary underneath it, like, oh, originally I wrote this because I didn't like this movie, or like, you know, like little things. Like,
yeah, that. The kind of thing they do in the Penny Arcade books, and they did in the Axe Cop collection as well. Yeah, it's cool. A little something extra for the fans who buy it. All right, so moving on to Punisher number one. This is part of the, what's this line called? Big Shots?
Ooh,
where there's
something like that.
Basically, it's like Daredevil number one, Moon Knight number one, and this Punisher number one.
It's like a line that isn't a line. It's not
really. Yeah, it was just more like an advertising scheme. Yeah, exactly. But this is this one's by Greg Rucka, who I don't think has ever written The Punisher before. And it's got art by Mark Tichetto. And I don't know. I thought it was okay. Basically, a lot of the issues silent. There are a couple big shootouts. But what really stood out for me was there's a backup story that deals with the Punisher's relationship with the police.
Yeah. Same writer and artist.
Too. And the same writer and artist, but it was more of like a talking heads thing. But I actually found it a lot more interesting than the actual issue. Yeah. Did you guys like this? Or
yeah, I liked the intro story. But it's a little confusing as to what's going on, because there's a lot of silent parts and you're not sure who's shooting who or why they're shooting somebody. Yeah, yeah. But I like the detectives that are introduced, and kind of the story's sort of interesting. It's just a little confusing, but hopefully it'll get cleared up as it goes along.
Yeah, I think my problem was that, like, after the high of Captain America and even the Captain America Bucky relaunch and the Daredevil and the Moon Knight, there have been so many good Marvel restarts or like new intro ones. This one's really disappointing for me, especially for Greg Rucka. I expected a lot better from him.
Yeah, especially, I mean, it's just because it's the marketing, but this was kind of advertised together with Moon Knight and Daredevil, and those are both, like, I feel like really fresh new takes on the character, and this felt a lot like a Punisher comic.
Yeah.
True.
Although, I will say it is Greg Rucka, and as it goes on, I imagine that the story will get a little more, you know, intense, and the crime elements will start to sort of build, and he'll do hopefully something similar to what he did in like Gotham Central.
Yeah, from what I read, he said there'll be more interactions with like the Marvel Universe, and
interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Greg Rucka is definitely a good choice to write Punisher comics. Yeah. I just hope that it's more better in the next issue.
Yeah, so. And it wasn't bad. It just it just wasn't the awesome thing that I was hoping it was going to be.
If the backup is an indication, it'll get better.
Yeah, that definitely raised my hopes for this. All right, so let's move on to let's see, what do we got here? Let's talk about Ultimate Fallout 4. We kind of talked about this a little bit. I guess the only thing we should mention is that this is the Brian Bendis, Sarah Pacelli story that is the first thing in this. There are two other stories, one's by Hickman and Salvador LaRocca, one's by Nick Spencer and Clayton Crane. But the real draw of this is what we talked about earlier, which is this 9-page story about the new Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And we talked at length about it, but, you know, it came out this week.
As an actual story, I liked him as a character. I thought he had a fresh new take.
He seemed a little more Spider-Man-y than I thought he was going to be. I wasn't sure. It seems like he has Spider-Man's powers and stuff. I don't know.
But he doesn't seem to understand them.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I think we'll certainly find out a lot more in September when this launches.
Ultimate Spider-Man 1.
I mean, this Fallout series is basically just kind of to lead into all the new Ultimate books, which is fine.
True.
Yeah,
they're not really stories. They're just kind of like little snippets of stuff.
But it was a good issue. And oddly, though, it was polybagged, even though Marvel came out with like a press release the day before it came out telling everybody what happened. I thought that was really strange. But
they always do that.
They love Marvel. To do that stuff.
Make right, mine Marvel.
So let's move on to the Walter Simonson's The Mighty Thor Artist Edition hardcover. This is like the Wally Wood thing that we talked about earlier. It's a big 15x22 book. That's actually a 4-issue storyline, I think, from Thor.
I think it's even 6. It's 3 or 4 from like consecutive issues, and then 2 from like jumping a few issues ahead.
And the cool thing about this is, you know, it's an art book, but you can actually read it because it's all the pages.
It's all the pages.
So these are like full size artist boards from Simonson.
Yeah, so these are shot off of the actual arts, and this is done back in the 80s, so it's got like the lettering hand pasted on there, and it's like you see all the corrections with white out.
A lot of white out,
yeah. It's very cool if you're interested in sort of the method of making comics. I think it's a very cool book, and it's Simonson, so
yeah, this is like Simonson at his peak. It's really good art.
And it's a cool story. I think it's the first Beta Ray Bill story.
Which
is fun. All right, so we all like that. Obviously, it's pretty expensive at $100 bucks, but it's definitely worth taking a look at. It is huge. Yeah, it's if you're a Simonson fan, I would actually say it's a must.
Yeah,
and if you're not, you would look at this and you probably would be afterward.
True.
All right, so let's move on to Petrograd hardcover. This is by Philip Gelott and Tyler Crook, two guys I've never heard of, but this book
it's so good.
Is mind-blowingly good. Jared, you want to tell people what Petrograd's about?
Yeah, basically, after based on his bibliography in the back, he read about 20 books about the assassination of the crazed monk Rasputin back in the early 20th century in Petrograd, and this is how it happened or how he thinks it happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of it is fact, but, True. But it doesn't matter because the story is incredible.
Yeah, it's really well done. I mean, it's very layered with a lot of different characters. At first, I found it to be a little daunting just because there are so many people.
He's introducing a lot of stuff very
quickly.
It's
a conspiracy. So there's, you know, like there's people from like the British intelligence. There's, you know, Russian princes and stuff like that. You know,
there's communist sympathizers.
Yeah, there's revolutionaries.
There's Krana Secret Service.
Soldiers in the trench. I mean, like all those things in the beginning. And what makes it even more crazy is that, you know, you don't really know what people's true intentions are in the beginning of this book a lot of the time. So
true.
But as it goes on, it gets better and better. And I think it might be the best thing that came out this week. Yeah. But there is definitely one other book that
I feel like it might be the best thing that came out this year.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, we got one other book to come out really to talk about, which I thought Nick said was the best book this week.
Maybe.
Which was Severed number one.
Oh, that was definitely the best like issue. I feel Petrograd is more of like a book.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Nick, let me say that Severed number one is by Scott Snyder, who's been writing Batman Gates of Gotham, American Vampire, and Detective Comics, which have all been outstanding.
Incredible. Yep.
And he's co-writing this with Scott Tuft, who I don't know.
I didn't realize he was a co-writing.
Yeah. And then the art's by Attila Futaki, who is a new name to
good
me.
Good Lord, the art.
But the
is
art
so
was really good. Yeah. Nick, why don't you tell people what Severed was about?
It's hard to tell you too much about it without giving away, but it's, you know, early 1900s. It's about a boy who's running away from home to become a violin player, I guess. He's like, I just want to go and like play my music and live free. And he's jumping trains and stuff. But it's also a little bit about there's a framing device from like, you know, when he's an old man and he's missing an arm and he's like, something bad happened to me when I was young, and he's telling this story. And
the rest of the issue is that there are bad things out there.
And there's something really crazy happening.
Yeah, and it's very creepy.
It's really creepy.
And it's got a really kind of like, it's very American in its way. You know, it's like boxcars and people like hobos and I don't know. It's just,
it feels kind of like Stand By Me. Like it's just like young guy, like little kid, like just not little kid, but you know, like coming of age kind of kid, like just going on an adventure. But
a terrible adventure. But I will say overall, a very, very good first issue.
It's a really good horror comic. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like we went through a lot of stuff in this podcast. So what's our pick of the week? Is it Petrograd or is it Severed?
Petrograd.
Jared?
That's hard. I think it's going to say Petrograd too.
Well, I'm going to say Severed just to be the devil's advocate.
I mean, Petrograd's like 250 pages. Severed is like the first, you know, 20 pages of a longer story.
Severed has the potential to be amazing.
Yeah, that's
the first
true.
Issue. Was
there's a lot more payoff in Petrograd.
That's true.
Either way, it's always a good week when there are two books and we can't decide which one's the
best. They're both incredible.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a good week for comics. And it's a good week for the Big Planet Comics podcast. All right, see you guys next time.